Welcome to Garden with Harmony. I'm your host, Harmony, and for today's lesson from the garden, we talk about different ways to reduce, reuse, and recycle in the garden. During the course of this episode, we'll discuss what that means, steps you can take, and how you can make the biggest impact. Everyone's heard the phrase reduce, reuse, recycle. It's been around since the 70s, and the concept has been around even longer. Taking steps to be more eco-conscious can save you money on grocery bills, reduce the waste in landfills, is environmentally friendly, and most of the tips that I cover today are great to take home with the kiddos. So to start us off, while reducing and recycling are great components of waste reduction, it really starts with reducing the items that you are already consuming or using in the first place. And I used to struggle with this because I wanted to buy all the things. And I still find myself justifying this habit when I want to buy 6 different kinds of seeds that I don't need just because they were on sale. And for myself, I try to use toddler logic. And by that, I mean the logic that I used on my children when they were younger of, do you want it or do you need it? And I often find that I don't actually need it, I just want it. And a recent example of this is last spring, I was constructing some new raised beds in the garden, and I wanted all the beds to be these 4-foot high beds made with galvanized steel. And my husband ended up making a prototype for me, and I love it. I love the ease of access I have with it, but I don't love the cost of the materials and the soil. Even after filling the bottom with branches and leaves, it was still not very cost effective to fill it. And the thought of doing that 8 times over was kind of overkill. So I reduced my materials to 4 2x6s and 4 deck blocks per bed. And this for me made sense because it was exactly what I needed. Another way that I've reduced my consumption is by looking for tools with multiple purposes. So my Hori Hori knife, a basic sharp hoe, a wheelbarrow, and a water container are really the only tools that I use in the garden for a while now. And I thought that I needed to have all of the newest gadgets when I started gardening. I thought I needed to buy the fanciest fertilizer. I thought I needed everything. But after making my own manure tea and weed tea, I'm happy with both of those. And now I use what I have on hand. For mulch, I use leaves, grass clippings, pine needles, rather than buying a whole nother product. If you don't have those readily available to you though, you can reach out to your local composting facility for free or low-cost mulch. If you need a lot of mulch, you can sign up for Chip Drop, or you could even flag down a local tree cutter. They've got a lot of waste and they have to pay to dispose of it. When you are able to take that off their hands, it's a win-win situation for everyone. So it's a great way to get free mulch and put it to use. The less you consume, the less waste there is to reduce and recycle. And really, reducing your consumption comes down to mindset. Once you decide that you want to, you still have to train yourself to think more critically when it comes to buying items that you may not need. Now let's talk about ways to reuse items in the garden. Reusing is different than recycling in that you're keeping the original item and extending its actual lifespan, usually for a different purpose, whereas recycling is creating a raw material for a new product. So when you send in your soda cans or your soda bottles, that is recycling. When you use an old rain boot as a planter, that is reusing. And when it comes to reusing items in the garden, the only limit really is your creativity. Almost anything can become a planter. Like I said, boots, chairs, cinder blocks, anything. I use milk jugs in the winter for winter sowing to start my seeds. I do see tires commonly recommended for use as planters, but there's enough debate that I don't use them in the garden. However, if you do have some laying around and you have goats, I do recommend that you put a few in their pens. You can bury them about halfway down because goats love to play and tires are perfect for this. You can start seeds in used tea bags if you're patient enough, or toilet paper rolls, or paper pots from newspaper. You can use soda cans, paper cups, juice boxes, egg crates, literally just about anything to start seeds. You can reuse nursery plant pots if you have any from last season. But if you are using any plastic, you always want to double check that it's food safe. Old doors and windows are great for building greenhouses and cold frames. And if you want to feel better about the Amazon boxes showing up on your door, cardboard is a great weed barrier. Burlap sacks make great weed barriers as well, and they make really great grow bags. That's what I grow my potatoes in. If you're looking to create a garden path and you have any old construction materials laying around, bricks, pavers, concrete, even just big stones, those are all great for creating those pathways in the garden. Pallets are another item that are really good to reuse. You can usually find these for free on Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist. You can tear them down completely and reuse them for almost anything. You could make raised beds, fencing, a floating patio, garden furniture, garden benches, potting benches, or you could leave them as they are and build an easy compost bin like I did. But with the pallets, you do always want to double check the stamp on the pallet just to be safe. You want to look for heat-treated wood, not chemically treated wood. Rainwater is another thing that I love to use, and I know that not everyone has the space for rain barrels. I have a friend who keeps milk jugs on her patio, and she uses those to fill up and then water her plants in her apartment. It doesn't have to be huge steps. Now, another thing that I'm sure that almost everyone has seen in some kind of garden hack video is kitchen scrap gardening. And this can be a really good example of reusing what you have, if we understand that there are limitations to it. And there are a lot of vegetables that you can regrow from kitchen scraps, but it's not an ideal way to feed your entire family, right? So ideally, you want to do this with items that you already grow in your garden, but if you are using store-bought scraps, that's okay, but start with items that you get from a farmer's market or at least are organically grown. You can replant the whites of green onions with the root side down in some potting soil, or keep it in a shallow dish or a glass of water, and they can be harvested about 3 or 4 times before you need to start over. Romaine lettuce is similar. You can place romaine hearts in water and fresh leaves will grow. You can also leave about 2 inches at the bottom of a celery stalk and place it in a shallow dish, and you'll see new leaves growing within a week. Sweet potatoes are a little different from the others that I already mentioned in that you'll want at least one whole sweet potato. You can suspend the potato in water and the sweet potato slips will grow. And once they get to be about a few inches, you can transplant them into your garden. If you've got a few extra stems of herbs like basil or cilantro, you can throw them in a glass of water to root before transplanting. And like I said, with these garden hack videos, sometimes you'll see people regrowing root veggies like carrots or beets. The method is similar to regrowing celery, but you're only going to regrow the greens, not the root vegetable itself. So if you cut off the top of a carrot and you place it in some water, you can't expect to grow an entire carrot, but you will grow the carrot greens. Now, you can also save seeds from any veggies that you cook with for future planting. You could save fruit seeds, but for most things like blueberries and strawberries, it's best not to start from the seed unless you're okay with waiting a few years before harvesting. But watermelon seeds, those are actually my favorite seeds to save. And if you've got more seeds than you know what to do with, consider finding a local seed swapping group in your community. You might be able to help someone find what they need while crossing off a few items on your own list without visiting the store. If kitchen scrap gardening is not your thing, then composting might be it. Composting falls more into true recycling because you're taking the garden waste and you're creating a new product, which is that compost. And if you don't have room for large-scale composting, that's okay. It doesn't have to be 18 composting bins. It could just be one bin. That's enough. Or you might want to give trench composting a try. And for this, you actually place the kitchen waste directly in the garden bed. You want to dig a few inches down, place the waste, and then cover it back up. Now, if you don't have a garden yet, or you're not actively gardening, that's okay. If you still want to contribute in a way, you can check to see if there's a local composting facility near you. And if your town offers leaf and lawn waste pickup, that's a really good indicator that they do and that they have a composting facility. So you can contribute to their composting efforts, or you could check out their options to see what they have for free or low cost compost for yourself. I don't want to sound as if I'm suggesting to never purchase anything again, but in those instances, you do want to choose wisely. Use your dollars to send a message and purchase recycled goods over new when you can. Choose handmade goods over mass-produced ones. Make an active decision to reduce, reuse, recycle consistently. As we close out this episode, let's look back on what we discussed. We covered the basis of reducing, reusing, and recycling in the garden and different ways to do so. But what's the lesson from the garden and how can we apply it to ourselves? The little things add up. Most, if not all, the tips I suggested today are small steps in the right direction. And in the grand scheme of things, we may even wonder what kind of impact we are truly making. But as we become more aware of our actions and hold ourselves accountable, it becomes easier to demand change from the organizations who do make the most impact. And as we find ways to become better, it becomes harder to accept the status quo. And what we've accepted in the past is not good enough for our children, and it's our responsibility to pave the way. We can't change the world in a day, but it starts and ends with small changes towards a big goal. Thank you for being here with me for today's episode of Garden with Harmony. Be sure to like, follow, or subscribe on your preferred podcast platform for new episodes. And if you really like what you heard today, leave me a review on Apple Podcasts and tell me all about it. For more information about today's episode, links, and show notes, please go to my website, www.gardenwithharmony.com.